All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam. Naran Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Nasta Prayesu Avadresu. Nittam Bhagavata Sivaya. Bhagavati Uttama Sloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki. So today, June 11th, Tuesday, in Alachua, Florida, under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, we are serving Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 9, and we are reading the summary, and then 1 to 3. So reading the summary first. This chapter, we can read all together. This chapter describes Markandeya Rishi's vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy. Satisfied by the prayers Sri Markandeya had offered, the Supreme Lord told him to ask for a benediction. And the sage said he wanted to see the Lord's illusory energy. The Supreme Lord Sri Hari, present before Markandeya in the form of Naranarayan, replied, "So be it," then left for Badrikashram. One day, as Markandeya was offering his evening prayers, the water of devastation suddenly flooded the three worlds. With great difficulty, Markandeya moved about all alone in this water for a long time. Lying upon a leaf of that tree was an infant boy glowing with a charming effulgence. As Markandeya moved towards the leaf, he was pulled by the boy's inhalation and just like a mosquito drawn within his body. Inside the boy's body, Markandeya was amazed to see the entire universe just as it had been before the inhalation. After a moment, the sage was carried out by the force of the child's exhalation and hurled back into the ocean of annihilation. Then, seeing that the child on the leaf was actually Sri Hari, the transcendental Lord situated within his own heart, Sri Markandeya tried to embrace him. But at that time, Lord Hari, the master of all mystic power, disappeared. Then the waters of annihilation disappeared as well, and Sri Markandeya found himself in his own ashram, just as before. Very nice. Text 1, together. Suta Uvacha. No, we'll recite together. Suta Uvacha Sanktusto Bhagavan Ittam. Markandeyena dhimata Narayana narasakha Prita ahu viguraham. Translation. Sri Suta Goswami said, the Supreme Lord Narayan, the friend of Nara, was satisfied by the proper glorification offered by the intelligent sage Markandeya. Thus the Lord addressed that excellent descendant of Bhrigu. Text 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bho Bho Brahmarshi Varjoshi Siddha Atma Samadina Mai Bhakta Narpaniya Tapasadhaya Sangjamei. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Markandeya, you are indeed the best of all learned Brahmanas. You have perfected your life by practicing fixed meditation upon the Supreme Soul, as well as by focusing upon me, your undeviating devotional service. Your austerities, your study of the Vedas, and your strict adherence to regulative principles." Text 3. The synonyms first. Bhayam, we, te, with you, paritustaha, perfectly satisfied, sma, have become, tvat, your, brihat brata, of the vow of lifelong celibacy, charaya, by performance, varam, a benediction, praticha, please choose, bhadram, all good, te, unto you, barada, the giver of benediction, asmi, I am, tat ipshitam, desired by you. Bhayam te paritustasma, tvat brihat brata charaya, varam praticha bhadram te, varadasmi tvat ipsitam, bhayam te paritustasma, tvat brihat brata charaya, varam praticha bhadram te, varadasmi tvat ipsitam, bhayam te pratitustasma, tvat brihat brata charaya, varam praticha bhadram te, varadasmi tvat ipsitam. Maharaj. Vayam te paritustasma, tad brihat bratacharaya, varam praticha bhadram te, varadasmi tvat ipsitam, vayam te paritustasma, tad brihat bratacharaya, varam praticha bhadram te, bhayam te paritustasma, tvat brihat bratacharaya, varam praticha bhadram te, varadasmi tadipshitam, vayam te paritustasma, Ayam pati cha bhadrante Ayam pati cha parikshitam Vayam te paritushtasma Tad brihad bratacharaya Varam pati cha bhadrante Purport. Translation and purport by the sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. We are perfectly satisfied with your practice of lifelong celibacy. Here the Lord is speaking, we, means him and others. Please choose whatever benediction you desire. Since I can grant your wish, may you enjoy all good fortune. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the Lord used the plural form in the beginning of this verse, we are satisfied, because he was referring to himself along with Shiva and Uma, who will later be glorified by Markandeya. The Lord then used the singular, I am the bestower of benediction, because ultimately only Lord Narayan can award the highest perfection of life, eternal Krishna consciousness. Beautiful purport. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasa Genanjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namam Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam jena bhutale sayam rupa kadamayam dadati shapadantikam bandeham sri guru sri jutapada kamalam sri gurun vaishnavamscha sri rupam sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam tam sajivam sadaitam sabadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Vancha kalpa taru vescha kripa sindhu vayevacha patitanam pavanebho vaishnavebho namo namam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This chapter is very fascinating. Of course, every chapter is like this. Because this talks about our personal life. Even though it is Markandeya Rishi, who was a sadhaka and became perfected. What are we doing here in this temple? Same thing. And then Markandeya Rishi is going to experience the devastation, pralaya. There are four types of pralaya: Muhurtika means every moment something is created and destroyed. Some living being is born and dies. Then Aikantika. Aikantika means every day of Brahma, he goes to sleep and then he dreams, and during the dream he converses with the Lord. But from heaven to all the way lower, everything is going through big devastation. Every day of Brahma, I mean every end of the day of Brahma. Then end of Brahma's life, which is Prakritike, that the whole universe goes devastation. But the most important of all four is Attantika. Attantika is the soul. The Hare Krishna devotees in Alachua temple, they are coming back to their spiritual domain with spiritual body, with spiritual sentiment. That is the biggest devastation. All devastation is not as important as this one. So what Markandeya Rishi, I see, that going through, we are also going through. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, he says, Bhajje Visho Jalamay, Bhitare Anandamay, Krishna Premere Adbhuta Charitra. What is the beauty of Krishna Prem, love of Godhead, that every devotee will be going through a tough time, struggle in their spiritual path, but what keeps them going? Inside they feel connected and happiness. But externally they will be facing like Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi was next, hopefully maybe 1 month, or no, maybe few weeks, we'll discuss this chapter, that how terrible this pralaya or devastation is. But what keeps him going is inner connection with the Lord. So we also go through this, and we will go through this. There is no exception. There is no exception. Everybody has to go through this. So we can learn from Bhagavatam. What fascinates me, the Markandeya Rishi felt grateful and he was appreciating. If this we can adopt, then we can see our inner connection is tightly bonded. After chanting for a few decades, if I'm not happy, it means I'm not appreciating, I'm not connecting thoroughly. This is revealed in this chapter. The follow-sruti is given in the 42 verse. Ja evam etat bhrigu varjam varnitam ratangapaner anubhav bhavitam saṃsravet saṃsrinuvat tuvat udho tayurna karmasaya saṃsriti bhavet. In case, because I need sometime motivation, there are two types of people in this world. Some are self-motivated like Prabhupada, lot of ISKCON leaders. Lot of ISKCON leaders, I see they are like self-motivated. I don't know. From within, Krishna is guiding them and they are actually seeing it and they are literally goes with it. But the majority need to be motivated. So here, motivation is given that, best of the bhrigus, this account concerning Markandeya Rishi conveys the transcendental potency of the Supreme Lord. You want spiritual potency? Here it is. Hear these pastimes of Markandeya Rishi. First. Second, translation, anyone who properly narrates or hears, so both, You have to speak and you have to hear. It will never again, he will never again undergo material existence. Haribo, you should feel happy. I'm happy. Just by hearing this Markandeya Rishi, these three chapters, next chapter also, we will be literally no more birth in this material world. Instantly liberated. We're supposed to be liberated. I mean, we are already liberated by nine chapters, as Prabhupada blessed us. And then it says, material existence, which is based on desire to perform fruitive activities. This story is infused with the power of the Lord. Both the person who narrates and the person who hears equally and END. Material existence composed of impression of karma. No more karma. Finish. But the story only beginning is not ended yet, so you will not experience maybe. Maybe all are liberated anyway. Here, very interestingly, many points are given thoroughly. If we remember yesterday's verse, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur put it in a dialogue form. Between the Naranarayan Rishi and Markandeya Rishi. This is their meeting. So Markandeya Rishi immediately saw the Lord and he glorified so many beautiful verses. Prabhupada says, to practice devotional service, we must always engage intelligence. In one morning walk, I give you a little story, one morning walk, Srila Prabhupada says, oh, this is a beautiful building. And the devotee says, disciple says, oh yes, Prabhupada, it's a beautiful building. Prabhupada said, Krishna should have this building. And the disciple says, yes, Prabhupada, Krishna should have this building. Then after a little walk, there is a beautiful car was passing by. Prabhupada said, oh, this is a beautiful car. Yes, Prabhupada, this is a beautiful car. Krishna should have this kind of car. The devotee says, and Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna should have. After a little while, there's a gentleman going with a dog and a leash. So, there is a dog. Yes, Prabhupada, there is a dog. Krishna should have this dog. They say, yes, Prabhupada, Krishna should have this dog. Prabhupada says, no. Krishna does not need this kind of dog. And Prabhupada said, you have to engage intelligence in your spiritual perception, spiritual activities all the time. So it is necessary. So here, why intelligent? Because Naranarayan Rishi appreciate all the prayers was consciously made. It was not a whimsical some glory of God. He literally, consciously he made. So Markandeya Rishi says, though you are known by the Vedic scriptures, you are still difficult to understand. Then Naranarayan Rishi replied, knowledge of me is not difficult, all explained in the Vedas. Then Markandeya Rishi replied to the Lord's suggestion that knowledge reveals, yes, in the Veda, but it is difficult to understand. And who has access? Only they can. Naranarayan Rishi immediately agreed. He says, then those who study the Vedas will know me and you should go there. The Markandeya Rishi replied to that, yes, my Lord, but Veda has so many things that it bewilders the reciter. Because Vedas speak indirectly, they are bewildered about you as the only object of knowledge. The reason is explained. The Lord has a form which is not the form, pratirupam, which becomes the subject of various philosophy like Vivartavad. Vivartavad means Mayavad. Described in the Vedas. Then Naranarayan Rishi replies, what would you like to do? when you know about it. Then Markandeya Rishi says, Bande Maha Purusham. I simply want to bow down and worship you. Therefore, I offer respect to he whose real nature is hidden from understanding, hidden within himself. Then Narayan Rishi agreed and he says, by my mercy, one can know me, and I have come here today to give you the mercy. Beautiful conversation, beautiful prayers. And I was reflecting when I read this yesterday that from morning till evening, our sadhana is all prayers. Saṃsāra dāvā nalalīra loko is a prayer. And these prayers is the universal language by which human heart communes with the divine heart. Poetry is an artistic means for verbalizing the heart's deep emotions. This is exactly what Markandeya Rishi did. Singing is a popular method to express one's emotions. The integration of this, composed poetically and sung individually or collectively, is a powerful and joyful way to channel human emotions towards the divine couples, Radha Krishna, Radha Shyam Sundar. In the world's great theistic tradition are found many examples of beautiful prayer songs. Such prayers are usually composed by saints who verbalize their love and longing to the Lord. We sing 1 month Damodarashtakam. We sing Guru Puja is a poetic form. Almost like evening arati is poetic form. Everything. Because sometimes your deep emotional feeling you cannot express by the prose. And the poetic words actually carries more emotional substantial than just prose. In the text too, see how Lord Narayan Rishi actually reciprocating to his lover, Markandeya Rishi, who just instantly fell in love. Of course, he was practicing for many years like us, and he expressed his all realization through these beautiful, sweet prayers. When you appreciate, you glorify a person, great personality, like Prabhupada, Narayan Rishi, what are you supposed to expect? Sometimes we also wonder that should we appreciate when somebody does something nice to the Lord, nice to the devotees? Yes. Lord Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 12:8, Mayeva mana adhasta mayi buddhi nivesha. Niveshasyasi mayeva ato uddhavam na saṃśaya. Without doubt, you will be with me when you absorb your emotion and you appreciate, you glorify. Literally means you engaging your mind, absorbing your mind and engaging your intelligence. That's how Prabhupada translated on that. The appreciation that we get for our service is not as consequential as the absorption we get in our service. Whenever we do think, right now the devotees are listening, Bhagavatam, devotees are speaking, making garland, sandalwood paste. We are always engaged. Do some service to please the Lord. We usually have various levels of motivation for doing that thing. I remember few times I was happy seeing that Shesho Prabhu a few years back, even when Vrindavan, on the Janmashtami evening, we have a village of Vrindavan, and I give a little Harikatha on that. But next day, Shesho Prabhu gave class, I forgot the year, a few years back, and he was glorifying every person on the Janmashtami night, whatever they were performing to please the Lord. He was appreciating the children that they were dancing and doing such a beautiful play. And in Vrindavan, village of Vrindavan, every devotee, how they displaying the Vrindavan. And I was thinking, like, is that produce maybe pride? When somebody hears, when I hear somebody's glorifying me, appreciating me, or is it something actually necessary? So it was always in the back. And recently I was trying to study more Bhagavad Gita thoroughly again and again. And I was thinking that, oh, actually Krishna actually give a very nicely explain in 12th chapter. And this is exactly, I find that Naranarayan Rishi, being a Supreme Lord, is doing the same thing to his lover, Markandeya Rishi. Generally, we usually have various levels of motivation for doing our service that we do. And depending on how deep or substantial a motivation is, we persevere in that activity when we face obstacles. The same principle applies in our practice of bhakti too. We often want a sense of acceptability and respectability in our community. This is a fact. If I don't feel that nobody cares that I'm here, nobody accepts me, rather I'm like a foreigner, I cannot, you know, foreigner means, the word foreigner means don't live as a resident or citizen. He comes and visits and lives. Devotee community, each member should feel that they are accepted without imposing my idea on that person. And also, there should be a respect. So, with that note, and if that community is spiritual and pious, the kind of service we do therein determines our stature. So we may do service to gain appreciation. Such appreciation is not always a craving of the ego. This word I got it from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It can also be a basic human need for reciprocation, wherein we do something for someone and naturally expect them to speak a few words, recognizing what we have done, it is proper and accepted by the Lord. Recently I went to an example, I went to New York for a couple of weeks, and Sripada Radhanath Maharaj, being the GVC there, he immediately gave me a service. And the service is that find out how many groups in New York and try to bring them all under one Krishna consciousness profiles. So we talked about a couple hours, and I had no idea New York. Actually, I didn't go to for 35 years. But I had a very nice devotee, Bipin Prabhu. He knows subway everywhere. So every day I went out 9-10 hours. And Sripada Radhanath Maharaj has a very kind affection, and he infused some potency, I felt, that everywhere I went was very nice, successful. And every was so nice. And then I found out there is a 10 groups. I thought there was a one or two groups. There was a 10 groups. Two in Hayton Ridge, Queens has a 3 groups. Then you have a Bronx as a 2 groups, Manhattan as a 2 groups. Just here, there, like, and it all like 35 minutes, 45 minutes each way, and going, coming like 1.5 hour. And we spent 3-4 hours. It was very nice. At the end, when I left in the airport, Radhanath Maharaj and myself, we talked over the phone. And at one point, I was thinking whether he is hearing what I'm explaining, what is going. He's asked me, what did you do there? What did you explain and what happened? And I had a doubt whether the telephone got cut off or he's listening. And I said, Maharaj, are you there? He said, oh yes, I'm listening every word you are saying. I said, okay. He said, go ahead and finish. So after finish everything, he said, wow, that was wonderful. That service is due for 25 years. We need to really keep in touch, and you have to keep on going, keeping contact with all of them, all these group. I could not visit all, just 6 group I visited out of 10. But it was very nice. Everybody has a love for Prabhupada, but when it comes to cooperation with ISKCON, it's a big challenge. And ISKCON has a standard chalked by Prabhupada that the finance, the leader's character, their behavior, dealings with other devotees. Also, the ISKCON branches means they have to have a proper accounting system that somebody has to be responsible for everything, where the money is coming in and going. It's very nice, well made. Prabhupada made it beautiful. This ISKCON organization is so good, perfect. This is probably, to me, is the best gift Prabhupada's in my life from him. That even he left this world due to Krishna's calling him back, but ISKCON is still going in a full force. That Prabhupada's time there was only 108 temples, now is over 700 centers. This is because Prabhupada's best gift, the ISKCON management under GVC, so wonderful. So then I was thinking, like, Maharaj is appreciating so much, but then I reflected within my heart, do I need this? I'm being honest to you, I thought about it. Do I need this appreciation from Maharaj? Maharaj is saying, bravo, bravo. You know, I never heard him speaking like that, but it was very nice. So I think, but then I became motivated more to actually know, I really want to please Prabhupada. I really want those group to come closer. I really want, because this way, not because for me, but because Maharaj is connected to Krishna more than me, so because he is pleased, I will definitely get benediction and mercy of Krishna and Prabhupada. Because Maharaj has so much love for Prabhupada and Krishna, because he is getting pleased, so I will be automatically satisfied with that. And I felt that. And it was very nice. So it is, practically, it is necessary if you see some devotee's good quality, appreciate. It's nice, wonderful that Shesha Prabhu did that next day of after Janmashtami. And he did twice. Some or other, he ended up giving class next day or something happened. So Krishna also said that this appreciation actually takes us from conditioned level to liberated level. To serve. Not that we are seeking for. We need to understand that our ultimate purpose in practicing bhakti is to connect with Krishna. And that connection comes the most enriching and fulfilling way through absorption in Krishna. Indeed, if our mind and intelligence are absorbed in him, then Krishna says in 12.8, na sanshaya, without doubt you live with me. There still somebody, like one Mataji, I went to Russian group, there is a 2 Russian group in New York, one Russian group, they're kind of not happy with the previous management, but they are not sure what the new management is. But anyway, we had a 4 hours harikatha, discussion, talk, and Radhanath Maharaj gave me some tips how to bring them closer. It was very nice. So when Mataji is saying that, oh, it will be so nice if all these groups get together and with a nice harinam and festival, Sunday feast, becomes a big few hundred devotees, jubilant. I said, that's very nice. This is a good quality you have. And she said, oh, don't glorify me. I said, if you say that I am doing something wrong, you said, don't glorify me, but I see something you have that actually our GBC wants it, then I must state this. It is not a glorification. And if you see that something somebody appreciated in you, and you say, no, I'm not this, then you're denying that person has no, any vision. It is an insult, actually. If somebody says something good, then Madan Mohan Prabhu always teach me, he said, as a hot potato. You are familiar with the hot potatoes. Means you throw it. This is what Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami Path says. Every time Narad Muni went to someone, he was glorifying. But that person did not deny that glory. He said, okay, you are seeing this by your perception, but actually that glorious position, I know who has it. And he directed him to that devotee. This way the whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita is written. So when some devotee sees some good quality in you and he says this, you say, this is the mercy of Prabhupada, this is the mercy of great personality who actually you seeing through me. But actually this Maharaj or that Prabhu has more if you really want to see. This way it is not, otherwise we say, oh no, I'm not this, as if like that person seeing wrong. That is not actually proper. The next verse, the last verse. Oh wow, I have a time, few minutes. Wonderful. The third verse also has a very sweet explanation. The Narayan Rishi and Mother Umadevi and Lord Shiva and their Parshad associate, they went and there very nicely says, we are perfectly satisfied with your practice of a lifelong celibacy. Please choose whatever benediction you desire. Since I cannot grant you wish, may you enjoy all good fortune. Oh, before that, actually Narayan Rishi, see how he appreciated Markandeya Rishi, who was glorifying him. He says, bho bho. The word bho bho in Sanskrit, not hello, it means, oh my dear, oh my lovely friend, like this. So the Lord was so moved by the intelligent, intellectual prayers and sincere, with feeling prayers, that he actually reciprocating with Markandeya Rishi. He says, bho bho, oh my dear sage, oh my dear lovely Markandeya Rishi. The first word, say, Brahmarshi, you are the most learned Brahmanas. The Lord is glorifying the servant, you can say. Lord is glorifying Markandeya Rishi. Baraya, you are the best. Because of your composing those prayers, it is so glorious. Siddha, you are perfect. The way you explain. Now you may say that Lord enjoys when we glorify Him. Yes, He enjoys. What part is enjoying? Is it that He needs to hear His own glory? No. He enjoys that when I am praying to Him, that my position, my glorification, if it is aligned with the scriptures, it is properly situated and he feels happy that he will be eternally happy and coming back home forever. That makes Krishna so happy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that every time any conditioned soul join Krishna consciousness, Krishna start dancing. Oh, that soul is coming back. It makes him happy. So now Lord is reciprocating and he keeps on. 10 glorification he did in one verse, the second verse. Then he says, Atma Samadhina, your fixed meditation on me, you directed all your emotion towards me. It is very much satisfying. It's very sweet. If my Emotion is directed towards sense enjoyment. I am karmi. Well, I am a devotee, but I like to eat this and I am trying to offer it. Then karma mixed bhakti. It is not pure bhakti. This is how all this division took birth. I made a chart one time. Actually, how all these karma mishra, karma yoga, dhyana mishra, jnana yoga, all these, it comes from a contamination. Bhakti is only pure, period. So then, when the emotion is directed towards negation, tired of this world, but not attached to Krishna consciousness, that I am in jnana path. When the emotion is directed towards Krishna, then it is devotion. It's very simple. How do you determine where you are? Check your emotional pulse, where your emotion is directing. That's where you are. And this is what Lord is saying. Then Lord says, Bhakta, oh, you performing devotional service. Glorification is devotional service. Anapaina, anapaina. And you are undeviated, which attracted me. That means when struggle comes in our life, challenges come, if we keep on chanting and serving, it pleases the Lord. This word Lord is assuring him. Then eight, tapaha. You have done austerity. What is the austerity we do? That voluntarily we are willing to please, to do something that pleases Prabhupada and Krishna. That is called austerity. Coming to Mangalarti, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, hearing Bhagavatam, that's all. This pleases Krishna. This is where Narayan Rishi is telling him. Number nine, Saddhayo. You study the Vedas. So we are serving Bhagavatam. It pleases the Lord. I'm sure he's listening. And he is happy with all the devotees listening. Sangjamai. And you are doing sadhana every day. Practicing. Whatever the prescribed duties that Guru has given, you are practicing. It pleases the Lord. Very sweet. So he said, I'm very satisfied because you are doing this every day. Now on the third, I'm going to make it very short, that this Lord is going to give the boon to Markandeya Rishi. And this, when the, why in the purport is a very, very important explanation is given. That when the Lord says, we are here and we are satisfied. But when it came to the point of giving boon, he did not say, we are giving you the boon. He said, I will give you the boon. Because boon has a two concept, nishkapat and shakapat. Nishkapat means that boon, like for an example, example Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave many years back, I remember. Shakapat means, say you love the sweet rice, and this devotee gave you so much sweet rice, you're going to take to your house to feed your family because they are starving. So you're taking the sweet rice, but the pot that you're carrying has a hole. By the time you reach to the house, there is nothing left. So what did you get? Really nothing. Even though you got it, but it did not. So all others' boons beside Krishna's boon, or Narayan Rishi's boon, is shakapat. When I have a cheating mentality and I want to become a pure advanced, with that cheating mentality, I will be cheated. If I come with a sincere and honest and simple mind and genuine, I will get also genuine. A pot has no hole. And I can carry that sweet rice. Eternally I can eat, it will never end. So a good example is given. There was a boy, in a short story, there's one little young boy, very famous story in Banaras. And this boy was born from a blind parents. His parents were blind. And as soon as the boy grown up, he has to start taking care of the parents. And it was so hard that he could not play with the other children. And he has to always take care. You know, blind parents means you have to take them to toilet, you have to bathe them, you have to dress them, like everything. And this child grown up and he's thinking like, what can I do to remove this blindness? And second problem he had, they're poor. So poverty, he has to even beg sometime to take care of them, feed them. He has to cook, he has to clean their pot, he has to clean their wash their hand, everything. When he became teenager, he was walking in the village and he saw the rich man's daughter, so beautiful, he fell in love instantly just by looking at her. And he's thinking, I want to marry her. Now he has more trouble. He is poor. Just keep a track. His parents are blind. And he wants to marry the richest man's daughter. Now in American culture is different. In Indian, I should not say that. I should say my village culture is, if you want to marry the richest man's daughter, you have to be also richest. Otherwise, no chance. This is practical life in village I saw. So now he is so depressed and he didn't know what to do and he's trying to figure it out. One day he's going, he's worried. He saw the Hare Krishna devotees are in one place. And he came nearby and the Hare Krishna devotees, they're not generally very kind. And he told the boys, hey, chant Hare Krishna. And this boy is asking, if I chant, what I'll get? He said, you'll get everything you want. Really? Okay, I'll chant. How do you chant? He said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he's chanting for a while. Then he sees that things are not happening. So he's walking through the village. He saw there's a big Shiva puja is going on. That was the Shivaratri day. And then this boy came by. He said, what's going on here? He said, Shivaratri day. Anything you do, definitely you will get your boon fulfilled by the Lord Shiva. Try to do something to please Shiva. So then he did very seriously puja in his house with all the paraphernalia he gathered with heart struggle. And the Lord Shiva appeared. And he was so happy. He was overwhelmed. But before he opened his mouth, Lord Shiva told him, wait, before you ask anything, I know why you are worshipping. I know every living entity's mind. But let me tell you something. I'll give you only one boon, not two or three. So make sure what you're going to ask, that's all you're going to get in this life. And he's thinking he needs three things. His parents' blindness should go away, he should become rich, and he wants to marry that girl. So he's thinking, and then he came back. At that time he told Lord Shiva, please give me one day. If you can just give me one day, I'll tell you tomorrow. Lord Shiva says, be it. And you will see end of this chapter also like this. Markandeya Rishi will say, let be it. So then he went back to the Shiva followers and they could not figure it out what he should do. So then he went to the Hare Krishnas. And he found out the Hare Krishna people are very intelligent. Why? Because they all the time engage the intelligent to serve the Lord. So they heard his situation. He said, no problem. When Lord Shiva appears tomorrow, you just tell him this. He said, very good. So he went there. And next day, he worshipped Shiva. Lord Shiva appeared. He said, okay, you ready? He said, yes, my Lord. He said, tell me one boon. He said, please give me a boon that my great-grandchildren should eat in the golden plate in a palace. My parents should see their grandchildren eating on a golden plate in a palace. And Lord Shiva is thinking, palace, that means you have to be rich. Grandparents has to see, means their eye has to come out. And to see the grandchild, he only took a vow to marry that girl, so that girl has to be married. How did you come up with this? He said, from the Hare Krishna people. He says, Lord Shiva was very happy. He said, yes, I know. Hare Krishna people are the most intelligent in this world. Okay, I give you the boon. And if you hang around with them and follow them, I'll give you another boon next time you ask. So Lord Shiva is very merciful. And this pastime and next chapter is also about Lord Shiva and Markandeya Rishi. So please pay attention and be instantly liberated. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samvata Vaishnavinda ki jai. Any comment? Question? Correction? Reflection? Everybody is convinced? Yes, Mata.
So you were speaking about appreciation and expressing appreciation to other devotees, and it's a natural need, inspiration. The other day you had said that one person no longer coming to the temple because the temple leader doesn't smile. Didn't smile on them. So, but you did say that one should not let that impede their coming to the temple, progress in their spiritual practices. So how do you sort that out?
This goes in both ways, that when if I am being corrected by somebody in the temple, I should correct within my heart. He said, okay, this devotee is very kind, saw some fault within me that I should correct because that person wants best out of me. Generally, we meet in this world for few reasons. We meet anybody. Either that person has come to take advantage of me, which is hopefully not in the temple or amongst the devotee, or that person has come to help me. Sometimes we see some devotee comes, actually it happened in my life, they take the best thing out of my life, that I could not bring out devotion as much within me that they could pull it out. So when I see devotee always well-wisher, and if I can position in that Krishna is showing me through this devotee, then I should take this as a gift of God and correct myself, then it will be a best. But same time, the leaders of the movement, the present leaders, we all are leaders in a sense, that we should be always trying to find a way to encourage every devotee that comes to the temple that his bhakti increases, because temple is not a temple. Temple is a place where the sadhus meet, association of devotees. It is not a building only. It is where the Lord claims his own house. We don't say this is a building. We say Radha Shyamsundar temple. So this is Lord's house. We come to Lord's house. So if the Lord's house has something not proper, then it's a responsibility has to go to the responsible person. And the responsible person should correct also. So it goes both ways. So we should encourage also, at the same time we should teach amongst us that we should be always respectful to the other Vaishnavas. Otherwise it's difficult. Srila Prabhupada even told Shyamsundar Prabhu, the highest perception of a Vaishnava, he gave six perceptions. That's a long discussion. The highest perception that each leader should see a little good quality in everybody comes in our life, and fan that good quality to engage in Krishna's service. And every soul has some little good quality. And one who can see it and very diligently fan that. If you fan too much, the little flame will extinguish. If you just, what they call, regulate it very carefully, attentively, then he can bring that little flame to big blazing. That devotee will become a genius. That's what Prabhupada is doing. Is that okay? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vanchakalpaturvishya kripa sindhave vachapatitanam paunabhu krishna vibhokanam.